Thank you, Lord God. Boy, pastors, he's getting it out of me tonight. Can I have a half day off, Lord? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, like the old Bill Gaither deal. I love that guy, man. I wish we could have him here.
Sounds like some of our lives, doesn't it? Sometimes I feel discouraged, and I feel that my life is in vain. You know, preachers don't ever feel that way. Not. Sometimes, I'm sure you've discovered, life is hard. I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done, what you've accumulated, what you have, what you don't have. at some point, and seemingly for some of us more often than others, there's that bump in the road. There's that wall that we encounter. There's that unexpected dart thrown by the devil. There's that, with no forewarning, out of nowhere comes something that devastates us. And we feel, pay attention to that word, we feel I want you to know feelings can be dangerous. In almost 39 years of ministry, I've sat in counseling sessions many times from people that I've learned were going to professional counselors, paying them money. And then coming to me for the spiritual application. And it dawned on me after some length of time, as these professionals would, and I'm not slighting that, don't get me wrong, because it's as a place, but they will say, "And how did that make you feel?" And then you'll tell them, and they'll go, "Well, and how did you feel about his response? And so how does that make you feel?" Let me just narrow this thing down to you. It doesn't matter how you feel. What matters is, what does God's word say about your situation? God's word is the final authority. It is the answer you need. It is the solution to your problem, regardless of how you feel. Old Brother Jack Moore, I founding pastor of Life Tabernacle, I refer to him often. What a wise man he was. And he said, some of you will say, "Well, God's word said it, and I believe it, so that settles it." He said, "The truth is, lady, if God said it, that settles it whether you believe it or not." But the truth is this: if we want to be a recipient, a benefactor, a beneficiary of God's word, now you don't like to hear this, I know. The society we live in today doesn't. It requires something of you. It's called obedience. There's a passage in the gospel that talks about a wise man and a foolish man both hearing and building a house, and one built it on a rock and one built it on sand. The storms come, the winds blow and the rains descend and beat upon both of them's houses, and one of them falls and one of them stands. Because his house was built on the rock. And the analogy in that passage is the rock, Christ Jesus, the rock of ages. But I sense tonight, you know, I learned a long time ago that if God gives you a word, whatever it is that you're to deliver, you can count on that either right before you preach it or right after you preach it, you're going to get the chance to live it out. Because the devil's going to come against every minister that ministers a word from God. I ain't talking about off the computer. I'm not talking about out of some sermon book, but a word from God to that preacher to give to the people. The devil's going to come immediately against that preacher to see if he's committed to what he said, or if it's just, "Y'all do as I say do, don't do as I do." Let me tell you something. I have to battle, as most all of us do, discouragement. I have to battle and bring captive thoughts that the devil will bring. And you're not exempt either. That almost didn't come out either. And I want to just tonight share a passage of Scripture. One of the Cowboy translations says, "Let us spur one another on unto good works in love." And tonight I want to exhort you, brothers and sisters, family of God, to fight the good fight of faith. I want to remind us who Jesus is, why he's come, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do, so that we can encourage one another and we can encourage ourselves in the Lord to fight that good fight of faith, to battle through the obstacles of depression and isolation and loneliness and futility, feelings of futility. We're always going to have to deal with feelings. You need to get it straight in your spirit, man. My feelings have absolutely nothing to do with it. It's to seek God, hear God, obey God, and watch God work. You know, I'll tell you something that'll make your journey with Christ a whole lot easier. It takes a big load off of you. If you'll learn that your duty, your responsibility, what's required of you is this: seek him, hear him, and obey him. That's it. It's his responsibility to do everything else, to do all of the convicting and drawing and saving and healing and restoring and providing the provisions that are needed. That's his responsibility. He promised us in Philippians that he would supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory, which are not governed by Wall Street's economy. He tells us in Deuteronomy 28, go read it. I think it's verse 2 to 16 is what I want to emphasize. See, we live in a me society. We live among people that want to be part of a bless me club. And I like blessings too, don't get me wrong. And God wants to bless us. But so oftentimes we become remiss in doing our part. Deuteronomy 28 says this, paraphrased: if you hear my words and do my words, these blessings will pursue you and overtake you. You can't outrun them if you're hearing and doing what his word says. There's the key. If you're doing what his word says, if you're doing what his word says, not just knowing what his word says, doing what his word says, these blessings will pursue you and overtake you. And then he starts listing them. I'm gonna bless your kids. I'm gonna bless your cattle. Thank God for that. The market's up. I'm going to bless your crops. I'm going to bless your barns and your storehouses. How many of you want that? The rest of you lying through your teeth. See, most of us want the blessing without the doing part. Most of us just want God. And sometimes he does just breathe a blessing on us. But I assure you, when you're doing in response and obedience to his word, now you don't do it for the blessing, but the blessings just come. So as you're facing these feelings of futility and discouragement, and feeling like your life possibly is in vain, I want to read a passage in Luke chapter 4, I think it is. Luke chapter 4. Now, over to set this up, in chapter 3, Jesus had been to the Jordan River, and John the Baptist has baptized him. This is the story you're all familiar with, how when Jesus came up, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove comes and lights on him, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then if you pick up chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Then was Jesus led," don't miss this, "then was Jesus led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted," or another word is tested. And then you'll go and you'll read a litany of temptations that the devil himself, not one of his helpers, that the devil himself came to Jesus with, offering him all this stuff. And it was his to give. Jesus quoted the word each and every time to overcome that temptation. And then he withstands all of that, and I'm going to pick up in verse 13 from there, and it says, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region around. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" I want to read that again. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And all of the eyes of the people in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he says, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." It's no longer a prophecy that's yet to take place. It's a fulfillment. It's a reality right now in your hearing. I am he, the one that's been prophesied about. I'm the one that has come to destroy the works of the evil one. For this purpose, 1 John 3 and 8, I believe it is. "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one." Matthew 28, Jesus says of himself, "All power," not limited power, not occasional power, not some power, "all power in heaven and earth is mine." Let that sink in. All power in heaven and earth is mine. He says, "Is there anything too hard or difficult for the Lord?" No. Then what is the problem? Well, let me add this. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Anything he has ever been able to do, and he's able to do all things, he's still able to do. We have got to slap our spirit man and wake our spirit man up, get to a place of realization that, hey, this is not just fairyland or fantasy land. This is not a myth. This is not fable. This is not history. Although it has historical facts, it's relevant for today. His word, which he gave by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he watches over to perform it. It will accomplish what he has sent it to do. What's the problem? Well, there's a list probably about that long. We'll name a few. Unfortunately, a very high percentage of people really don't know the Word of God. That's why he says for us to hide his Word in our hearts, that we might not sin against him, for one thing. Another thing, so that in hiding that Word into our hearts, that when the desert comes, when the mountain comes, when the storm comes, when those feelings of futility comes, we have resources from our knowledge of God's Word that the Holy Spirit will quicken unto us. It'll recall itself to us that we can say, oh, that thought I'm having, that I know where that's from. That's from the pit of hell. That's from the devil. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. In him there is no truth. God's Word says, and then you begin to use God's Word. As you verbalize it, you need to verbalize it. Couple of reasons. One, the devil is not omnipotent. He can't read your thoughts. Do you know that? God can. The devil can't. That's why the Lord tells us to say unto mountains, to speak unto problems, to talk and call demons out. That's why he tells us to verbalize his word. So in verbalizing his word about that thought that the devil has come against you with, or even that circumstance, maybe not just a thought, but in verbalizing what God's word says about it, one, you're putting the devil in his place. Two, is it serving as a bulletin to the Lord himself that, hey, your word says, and I'm putting it on the line. I'm risking it. I'm standing on it. And thirdly, faith comes by hearing what? Faith comes by hearing what? The word. What did you just speak? The word. When you hear yourself speak God's word, guess what? You're building your faith up to not just look at how big the problem is. You're beginning to remember how big your God is. So it's imperative. I want to speak to you tonight, recognizing that he's come to preach the gospel to the poor. What is the gospel to the poor? And that means poor in spirit, poor in heart. It can mean poor with money too, but what is the gospel to the poor? There's hope. There's forgiveness. There's restoration. There's good news. You don't have to stay like you are. God loves you so much. Yes, he died and gave himself for you, but he loves you so much, he doesn't want to leave you like you are. He wants to change you into the image of his Son, Christ Jesus. We need to have more of his thought process, more of his verbiage, more of his action. We need to hear the good news that I can be, old things can pass away and I can become a new creation in him. Amen. Secondly, to heal the brokenhearted, those whose dreams and relationships have been shattered. The loss of a loved one, Many things cause us to be brokenhearted. Kids acting like blooming idiots. I was one. You too, huh, Pipes? But he's come to what? Heal the broken hearted. Thirdly, and I'm going to move along, to deliver, to preach deliverance to the captives. I'll tell you, there's so many people in today's society living under all types of bondage, not just drugs and alcohol, but we've become addicted to many, many things. We're in bondage. We're in slavery. The Bible says, to what you yield your members to that you become enslaved. What are you yielding yourself to? What are you yielding your attention to? What has the focus of your eye? What has the focus of your ears and your hearing? What is it that you're yielding yourself to, because you're going to become a slave unto that? Unless you receive the deliverance of having been captive in that from the Lord. Next, he would come to preach the recovering of sight to the blind. This speaks of not only his physical ability to heal physically, but his ability to heal spiritually. Fifthly, to preach, to set at liberty those that are bruised. Those that just simply that have been beat up in life. Bruised, broken, rejected. Bad business deals. Being told repetitively for years, maybe your whole life, you'll never amount to anything. You're scum. You're destined to fail. You're bruised by those remarks, those words. You hear people speak negative over you and into you and about you, and it hurts. If you're not careful, you'll begin to believe that garbage. It'll get in your heart. Guard your heart, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You want to know what's in your heart? Surefire test. Have everybody's attention. If I have your attention, raise your hand. Who knows? I'm going to have to go get somebody. You want to know what's in your heart? According to God's word, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's coming out of your mouth? That's what's in your heart. Then he says, verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of our Lord, which in that time was the year of Jubilee. Thank God in New Testament times and our times, it's Jubilee day every day. That's why I said today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next month. You don't have to wait till next month's meeting. Today. Today. You can make right things with God. Would you bow your head, and I'm going to close.